Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Odia Butler. I want to thank you this evening for joining us right here on Fire to Inspire. I tell you, I'm so excited to have our guest back with us tonight. But before we actually go on forward with the show, I want to thank all of our sponsors for On Fire to Inspire. We have Mr. John Mark Howard, whose CD is entitled Purpose. Guys, you got to go out and get this. It is available on all digital outlets as well as johnsmusic.net, and that's J-O-H-N-Z music.net. That is John Mark Howard, and the title cut of that CD is Purpose. You want to go out and grab it. Finding Peace Within, Prayer Journal, The Journey of a Smile. That is by Lisa L. Dalton. That's available on Amazon, and guys, I'm telling you, you will be blessed by this awesome prayer journal. She takes you from your childhood to your current place of where you are now at your current age, and makes you think about why you think certain ways, why you do things certain ways. So that's Finding Peace Within, Prayer Journal, The Journey of a Smile with Lisa L. Dalton. Then we have Affographics. Affographics handles your banners, letterheads, photography, business cards, websites, newsletters. And guys, if you've seen some of the pictures that I posted, I haven't posted all the pictures yet from my photo shoot, Affographics did that. So Aaron, thank you so much for taking care of that. We did that on Thursday. He had pictures ready on Friday for me to post, and we don't even have all the pictures yet. So thank you again, Affographics. If you need a photo shoot, you need business cards designed, websites, if you go out and check out my website, guys, OnFireToInspire.com, spell everything out, OnFireToInspire.com. He's even updated my website. Guys, I'm telling you, that's your one-stop shop to get everything taken care of, Affographics. And you can email him at Affographics, that's A-P-H-O-G-R-A-F-X, at gmail.com. Then we have 50 Miles Per Hour Stage Play, and it's going to be April 28th at 4 p.m. at Croc Center Theater at 967 Dewey Street, Atlanta. And you can get your tickets out on Eventbrite. I will be a part of that show on April 28th at 4 p.m. And then the next one we have is It's All About Me Stage, Gospel Stage Play as well. And that was April 21st and 22nd. There are two shows, one on that Saturday, one on Sunday. Both are at 4 p.m. They're going to be at the Porter Stafford Performing Arts Building, located at 3181 Rainbow Drive, Decatur, Georgia, 30034. So I'm so, so very excited about that. And, guys, I tell you, you want to definitely be at those plays. Check out Eventbrite for that as well. And thank you so much, Anisha of Sister Girls Hair Salon in Columbus, Georgia, that hooked the girl up with the curls right before the photo shoot. So thank you so much for being there and taking care of that. Thank you, Tamma Cox, for taking care of my eyebrows and lashes right before the shoot as well. I appreciate you guys. I tell you, guys, spoke something forth on Wednesday, and everything happened within 24 hours. So y'all know we serve an amazing God. Isn't y'all right? Amen, amen. Well, we're going to welcome our awesome, awesome guests tonight, Ms. Ginevra Pearson and Ms. Timmerman and Affographics. Great. And so we're going to be having these great ladies join us. Welcome back to the platform, ladies. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So, ladies, can you see me? Because I can't see anything right now on my side of everything. Can you all see me?
I cannot. So, I'm going to go live with you because I can't see you feeding at all. So, I'm going to go live, and I'm going to connect you in.
All right, great, because I am not seeing you guys. So if you're following us on Facebook Live, bear with us for just a moment because I'm not seeing anything. They're not seeing me because we're going to bring them on live with us. So bear with us for just a few moments, guys.
I sent you an invite. Can't try this. I'm not close.
Wait a second, it looked like it froze for some odd reason. I tell you, you guys must going to be a real powerful crew team tonight because it's just not cooperating. And anytime it does that, we have a phenomenal show. So I'm excited about this show, and we have stuff like this happen. Yes, yes, yes. So as we're doing this, guys, you all can introduce yourself as I'm trying to get logged on with you guys on Facebook Live.
Okay, because we have some live watchers. So good evening, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Geneva Pearson, and this is...
I'm Patricia Timmerman.
And we're with Advocate to Create. It is a therapeutic private practice here in located in Hollywood and Doral, Florida. And so we are going live. We'll be joined in a few moments with Aaliyah Butler. I think we're just adding her on. Aaliyah, are you here?
I am trying to get on here with you guys.
We're adding you. It says it's adding you.
All right, let me see here. I'm here, but I'm trying to figure out why it's not showing the video. Give me a second.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So I guess we'll keep talking while she's doing all that.
All right, so in the process, yes, we'll talk a little bit. So Advocate to Create has been around for a little bit, and we provide therapeutic services, clinical evaluations, and we also do trainings in different topics. Now, today, we're very excited to talk about the self and self-care, especially with Valentine's Day around the corner. So how to date yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll wait for Aaliyah to join in before we jump right into that. But it will be very nice to be able to identify what are some things that we can do for that self-care. Because sometimes we're thinking so much about everyone else, mm-hmm. we get to enjoy a little bit of self as well.
Yeah. I think that when we talk about dating myself and this idea, this phenomenon of what does that mean, is that for a large part of that, when we get in relationships with other people, we forget that there is an I in that relationship, and we get so embedded in the we that sometimes we forget about the self and what does that mean. And I think even before we get into a relationship, if we have not worked on some of the components of the self, such as our emotional way of being, I see that Aaliyah is saying hi. here with our emotional way of being, if we haven't not worked on some of our unfinished business and kind of understanding how do we coin the term of love and trust and vulnerability and mm-hmm. boundaries, and if we haven't began to kind of embark on some of those areas for ourselves, then what we're doing is we're kind of not setting ourselves up to be the best partner or the team player in a relationship with the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're kind of going to focus on.
Especially because at that time, we don't really know what to look for in others, right? If we don't necessarily understand some of the things in ourselves. So then when you talked about the words love and trust, which are big words today, right? Or the idea of happiness
mm-hmm.
or even sadness, when we know within ourselves, it becomes easier to identify what it looks like once you have somebody else in the relationship, because it will be your version and their version of what that is. And when we don't know, we end up becoming lost or entrenched mm-hmm. in this other person's view of what trust and love is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, I guess, in dating ourselves, we embark into a self-exploration, a self-discovery, essentially.
Okay, so
we're
trying.
Almost there.
I think I just added Aaliyah in, so she's
okay.
going to join us. I'm putting approve, but she's not coming. Aaliyah, are you able to, you see that we just added you to the video?
This is lady. Can you hear me? Because I see you, like,
yes.
Let me see. Let me come out and go back in. Give me just a moment.
Okay. So what we have been given the gracious opportunity to do is that On Fire to Inspire is a wonderful organization and kind of a vision that Aaliyah Butler, who is based in Conyers, Georgia, has created as a vision for herself through her own spiritual connectivity of being able to birth this idea of coming into your own, her own entrepreneurship, her own being an author, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, a mother, a friend, a spiritual leader. And so what she has done is given us a gracious platform to be able to come in and kind of talk about I'm trying to connect with her, guys, so you bear with me a little bit. We're trying to add her into this conversation to be able to connect with her and talk about some of those topics. And we specifically talked about, we want to talk about dating myself this week because of Valentine's Day is around the corner, but I think it's also that we don't sit enough with ourselves. I think that a lot of times we're, you know, even think about the minute things of when we go out to dinner or when we go to the movies or when we are engaging in social things. Oftentimes, we pull somebody else in to be there with us. We often don't sit at the table.
And if not somebody else, something else, right? Because usually it is, oh, my God, I'm so uncomfortable here sitting by myself. Let me get my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, we don't get to do that time with self. It's always things that are around us. So we really want you to invite yourself out, I guess, and learn a little bit more. Who are you today? What do you want from yourself today and in the future? And what can you learn from the things that you've done and experiences you have been through in the past? Because you get to amplify the things that you like about yourself, and you also get to wane off the things that you don't necessarily want to bring with you into the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dynamic relationship.
Absolutely, 100%. So we're going to stop for a moment. I'm trying to add Aaliyah, and Aaliyah, are you able to, it says that you're approved.
It's showing me, it shows me you sent me the request, and I'm trying to connect, but I'm not seeing that we're connected. So ladies, we're going to continue to flow because nothing's going to stop us.
Okay. So I guess what we're going to have to do, because we have Facebook Live viewers, and then we also have people that are dialing into the radio with you here, they can't hear you, right? They can only, our Facebook Live folks can only hear and see us. So what we're going to have to do is when you ask us a question or when any of the listeners on your end, when it's time for them to ask us questions, we're going to have to repeat that so that everybody mm-hmm. else can hear us and kind of go from there. And vice versa, from the people that are live. Again, if you're alive, you can. It's on my Facebook page. So it's my name, and it's Genevra, J-E-A-N-E-V-R-A, Pearson. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N. Again, that's Genevra, J-E-A-N-E-V-R-A, last name Pearson, P-E-A-R-S-O-N. If you are dialing in and you're on this end with Aaliyah with us, just if you have Facebook, you know, go ahead and join mine live, and you'll be able to kind of see us as we kind of go through this interview.
All right, great ladies. So you were saying you were mentioning how many times we'll go to dinner or we'll go to lunch, but we either pull the phone out or we call a friend or. Now, I'm getting people texting saying they can hear us loud and clear. So on the radio side now,
okay.
Facebook Live, I'm wondering if they can hear as well.
Set on Facebook Live. Can you hear Aaliyah? She's available via phone. If anybody can hear her, can you just kind of reply back yes?
Let us know.
Thumbs up or something if you can hear Aaliyah via phone. She's not able to connect with us, so we're going to kind of continue on. Oh, you can go ahead and start talking, Aaliyah, because I don't think you're not saying anything, so they can't hear you.
Okay, can they hear me now?
You got to talk a little bit more for them to hear you, so go ahead and start the process.
Okay, all right, so on the phone side, everybody's staying on Blog Talk, they can hear us loud and clear. Facebook Live, has anyone said one way or the other yet?
I'm starting to see some thumbs up.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we're good on both ends. All right. Great. Yep. Great. So love it. Love it. I told y'all we don't stop for anything. Not at all.
Yep.
Not at all. So I was stating that many people, they don't know how to go somewhere and actually enjoy themselves. I know I am personally one of those people. I was so used to being surrounded by people that, you know, it's not a thing that you do regularly. You don't take yourself to dinner regularly or take yourself to lunch regularly or take yourself even to a movie. That's not something you do, especially as a married person. You're always doing things. You know, as a couple, you rarely do something alone. You may do it with the girls or, you know, family members, but how often do you actually go do things alone?
Absolutely.
They're
going to tell them the question.
One of the question that Aaliyah asked is, like, how often we actually get to do this, to date ourselves, I guess, or go alone. And I love the idea of dating the self. And I think it's something that we've become comfortable with. Something as small as, you know, if you, for example, I like watching movies or I like reading. So I've made it a concerted effort to go to places, go to a coffee shop with myself and reading it. So then I'm allowing that time with self and start doing it, you know, maybe once a month and then a couple times a week. So you become comfortable with that. Because a lot of the times, the fear of being, and I say the word fear is a really interesting word, but it is the fear of being alone and then feeling lonely, right? Which is that I am dating myself versus I'm alone by myself. And one becomes synonymous of the other oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So then when you're sitting alone in a restaurant, for example, one of the things that I know that I think of and is, oh my God, what are people thinking, right? So people thinking that I am alone versus are people thinking that I'm having a good time with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then why am I even thinking about what other people are thinking? So these are things that come to our mind. So allowing you to know that just because you are doing things for yourself does not mean or is not synonymous to being alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think just to add this idea of that, what gets in the way of us being able to sit with ourselves, right? How come it is that we need to have our phone in front of us, a tablet in front of us when we're at a restaurant, and when someone comes by and we're looking to see who sees us or to see if anybody's looking at us and to kind of make these, we begin to internalize and make a lot of thoughts and judgments and prejudgments about what we think, how we're being perceived. And a lot of times, most of the people ain't studying us. They ain't thinking about us. They are only entrenched into their own world and what they have going on. And so, it kind of for me, it boils down to vulnerability and being vulnerable and being vulnerable with yourself, being vulnerable in a setting around people that you may have never seen. And I kind of think of it: who cares, right? Could you? Thank you. to make an idea, you know, with who cares if they don't know. You know, if they're making judgment about us, you will never have to see them ever again, ever. So it's this idea of being comfortable with yourself and being vulnerable with yourself in the lieu of someone, in the presence of others.
Yeah. That's so true. So very true. Now let's talk about that. People please. You know, that right there, one of the things that I tell people all the time is when you get delivered from people, you've been delivered for real. You know, when you care less what a person thinks, because this is all about you being happy. You know, who cares if they see you sit at the table by yourself reading a book or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
Just staring off into space, you know, if that's what you so choose to do.
Yeah. So what Aaliyah just said to the viewers that couldn't hear her is that she was saying that absolutely, you know, she was confirming and validating what I was already saying, what me and Patricia were already saying about who cares if people are not, you know, if you're sitting at a table and reading a book or you're kind of engaged into your own world, is that, you know, it's all about what you think and about you being happy, opposed to being so concerned and shaped by what everyone else perceives and thinks and perceives.
But one of the things about, because that's a really interesting question, why is it that we care? But we're social beings. And it's funny because Ginevra and I were just conversing about the idea that how do we know ourselves? And we usually know ourselves in relationship to other people, right? So, for example, I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a colleague. I am a fiancé. So all of those are in reference to someone else. And a lot of the times you think, you know, being a mother, being a father requires a relationship. It's always your one end of a relationship. So what is something that allows us to be just us? And our names is that, right? So my name, Patricia Timmerman. So Timmerman, there's a history to it, which is the history of my lineage, of my family. Mm-hmm. Patricia is my name, and that is me, myself, and I. So becoming able to honor not only the relationships we have with others, because that's usually what ends up defining us, like, oh, who are you? Oh, I'm a mother. Who are you, right? So that, well, I'm Patricia. So how can I honor that part of me as well as all the other aspects in my life? We're all multifaceted, right? We have many relationships.
I agree. Yes, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I agree. So the portion of when someone sees the topic that we had tonight is dating myself, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm single and I'm trying to learn how to be by myself? No, that means learning how to be by yourself, even when you're married. And that's one of the things that I said in the summary. Regardless of if you're married or not, learning to be complacent and happy with just being alone by yourself, you know, just having that alone time, that downtime, to just be still and enjoy being alone.
Absolutely. What Aaliyah said is that what does it mean to really date yourself? Does that mean that you have to be with somebody or you have to be in a relationship with somebody? And she was saying that, no, it's just being able to have that alone time and being able to be with yourself. That's pretty much what she was just kind of talking about for those that are in Facebook Live.
And I mean, a lot of the times, especially during this time of the year, things happen in our lives, right? So, for example, you always hear, I have a couple friends or clients or people that I know who say, I've never been single. Mm-hmm. I've never had a moment where I've been single. I've always been having relationships. I don't know what that looks like. And especially if you recently broke up with someone, right? You have a contentious relationship, you don't want to think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're alone, you have to think, right? Mm-hmm. Things come to my mind. So I'm constantly distracting myself. Mm-hmm. So how can I do to be able to honor what I'm going through? We usually always reach for, I want to be happy, I want to be happy. But there are so many other emotionalities. Mm-hmm. And maybe becoming able to sit with the idea that right now I'm not happy. But I'm not happy now. It's okay. Let me honor that. Let me then give myself, what is it that I need? Do I need to eat, a big bucket of ice cream in front of the TV for a few days and then go and do my workout to be able, but what is it that you need to do for yourself to be able to listen to your own thoughts? Because a lot of the times the being with myself means hearing what I have to say. And we're so often trying to distract ourselves from it that is tiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting.
So Aaliyah, how important do you think self-reflection is? What have you kind of gotten engaged from the people that you interact with and you, you've done interviews and with your books and your publications and things like that. So how as a huge component of what we do, self-reflection is a piece with that, being kind of insightful. So that idea of sitting with self is really about being self-aware. Mm-hmm. How has that fit into the listeners and the stories that they've shared with you, as well as some of the things that you've kind of come across?
Okay, so dealing with people that I've come across in, like, say, mentoring, because I don't really say coaching as of yet, mentoring or just, speaking life to them, because that's what I do, I see that for me, it's very important. It's essential. It's mandatory. But I see that a lot of people don't. And so that's where the missing piece is. One of the things that my pastor said one time was, if you don't know how to spend time with you and you don't want to spend time with you, why should someone else want to? And
absolutely.
So that was very key to me. Okay, if I don't want to be with me, why would, you know, my spouse want to be with me, or my friends want to be with me, or my family members, cousins, whatever, you know, why would someone else want to be with me if I can't be alone and be happy being alone?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What Aaliyah said is that this idea that it's very important. Self-reflection, self-aware, sitting with self is very important because of this idea that if you don't want to sit with yourself and you don't want to be with yourself, how come would you think that anybody else would? And I think that to kind of go back to our previous point of is, how can we ask somebody else to take us to fine dining restaurants, to expensive excursions and trips, to buy us, you know, wonderful things and have and share wonderful memories and emotions if we aren't willing to do that for ourselves first? You know, what is it like for you to be able to do that? And I think that's really important, because how we treat ourselves is a huge component of how we are setting up for someone else to treat us. Yeah. What are the boundaries that we are creating? What is the context of that relationship that we're creating? And a lot of that has to do with, I'm a firm believer of unfinished business. So if I got in a relationship with John and me and John didn't work out, right, I have to sit with myself and be reflective of, we both were a contributor at multiple times in this relationship, in this communication pattern, and expectations and all these other ideologies about what worked and what didn't work. Okay, it didn't work. The relationship ended. Okay, that's fine. So going from there is, I have to sit with stuff to understand, what was my role in that? What are the pieces that, what part of that did I emotionally and spiritually and mentally deposit into our relationship account? Right? Because that's a valid bank account. And then also, what was my own that I was pouring into my own separate account, because we had a joint account because that was our relationship. But then I also have my own separate account. And so making sure that I'm pouring into mine as well, I'm depositing into mine. And so, okay, it bounced. I tried to make a withdrawal from the joint account that was a relationship, and the check bounced, right? Access denied. Why? So it didn't work. Y'all, Aaliyah's killing herself laughing over here. So it didn't work. So then if I don't sit with self to figure out, what was it about me that attracted me to John? Or what was it about John's characteristics that attracted me to him? What were some things that worked? How come those worked? What were some things that didn't work? How come those didn't work? Because then when you meet Brian and you meet Don and you meet Timmy, John is going to show up in all of those areas and in all of those individuals again, because that's our unfinished business. That's the things that we didn't sit with self to analyze and kind of think a little bit clearer about what worked, what didn't work on their part, and what worked and what didn't work on our part, and accepting accountability for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm thinking of a couple experiences with clients, and one of the common things that you'd notice, and I'll give an example. If you're in a relationship with someone and the relationship, you're always walking on eggshells, right? So then every little thing becomes a fight. So then when you go into a new relationship and you don't have to walk on eggshells and it doesn't become a fight, so now you're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? No, but this is not what I know. What I know is a fight. So then we get two choices. Number one choice is, well, let me think about this again and understand how this dynamic works, because I got no clue how this works. Or I am going to poke this person until they go back to what I know, which is walking on eggshells. And so I'm going to continue poking until the person now fights with me.
Yeah.
Because we tend to fall back into our patterns if we don't identify them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, through A to C, we like to play with the idea of a waka, which is with awareness comes action. And we like that waka model, because when you become aware of your patterns or your baggage or the things that you bring, you understand what you can change and what you would like to change versus what you wouldn't. So with every relationship and experience we've had, we learn the person that we were, and from the person that we were and the person that we are today, how do we want our future person to be?
Mm-hmm.
So what would we want more of? What would we want less of? So really about self-awareness and learning more and more about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I know what when you think of being able to be alone and be happy with yourself and by yourself, people automatically think it's a woman thing. Well, not necessarily. Men have a really bad, hard time doing that as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're 100% with that. You're 100% with that.
Yes. And so they bring baggage just like women bring baggage into the relationships and friendships and things of that nature because they're used to, as Patricia said, walking on those eggshells.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely.
For example, I've had a lady that, you know, she was dating a man that his ex, his ex-fiance cheated on him, his ex-girlfriend cheated on him. So he's expected her to cheat on him. So now she has to do everything to appease him to actually go over on the board. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay for all that they did to you. I apologize if that happened, but that's not what I'm going to do because that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lady was walking on eggshells because of what he had been experienced in his past.
Okay. And for to reiterate what Aaliyah was saying, is that this isn't just a woman issue. This is also a male issue as well.
Yeah.
So it's not gender. It's not gender bias. And she added
no prejudice.
No prejudice at all. Race, color don't matter.
Nope.
What she was saying was that this example of a couple where the male part in a heterosexual relationship, the male. had a past experience of experiencing trauma related to cheating, right, being cheated on. And so when he got with a woman, the woman ended up having to go above and beyond, or she was being requested to go above and beyond to make sure that she didn't fit that mold of what he had experienced. Is that correct, Aaliyah?
That is correct.
Okay. And she was saying, you know, that wasn't something that she was going to do or what have you not. The thing about, I'm a huge component of Murray Bowen. And Murray Bowen, one of the things that he talked about is this unfinished business. And you're going to hear me say that all night long because I live, breathe, and eat this idea of unfinished business. And the reason why that is because I know, you know, it's a lot of stuff that has been given to us directly. We were taught certain things, right? So whether that was passed on from whoever raised to, you know, the men and women in our lives, to what society, the messages that they give us about what does it mean to be a woman, what does it mean to be a woman of color, a woman of minority, what does it mean to be a man, what does it mean to be heterosexual, what does it mean to be homosexual. We have all of these dynamic ideas, right, of how and what these rules, right, of what and how we're supposed to be. And so I'm a believer of the fact that there are some direct messages that have been given to us that someone has sat down along the way and said, hey, these are the walks of life. You need to kind of get these things together because these are the things that but you need to know in order to survive, right? And then there's this other stuff. This stuff that has been secretly wrapped up, this stuff that has been put aside and it has our name on it, but it wasn't meant for us. It was somebody else's unfinished business.
Yeah.
And what that is great-grandma's trauma, the fact that she got taken advantage of by Uncle Lenny, who was the person of the family who touched little girls when they shouldn't have been touching little girls. And so great-grandma has learned that she's been violated sexually. And so what she has learned is that in order for me to preserve self, I must cut everyone off, not allow them to get extremely close to me. And what I'm supposed to do is be strong and be a strong woman, and I am supposed to walk in that right, and I am supposed to question every person's intentionality with me, right? And so great-grandma learned that, passing on to Grandma Ann, and then Grandma Ann passed that same ideology on to Mom, and Mom passed that same ideology on to us, right? This whole idea, not realizing that whole proudness, strongness, independence, don't let anyone in, blocking idea really is embedded in the fact that somebody was violating our family. And we have that, and that is a hush-hush of our culture. That's the hush-hush of our community. And so, and that's the hush-hush of our family, and we don't talk about it, we move beyond it, but moving beyond it is the very thing that we're teaching that lineage through. And so that's where I come with this idea that if we don't step back and assess the things that we're being told, the messages that we've received about so many different areas of our life, we're walking around with a bag full of stuff that, yes, there's some stuff in there that's our stuff because we create it, but then there's some other stuff that was just handed down to me. And I don't do well with hand-me-downs in that regard. I thrift shop. I love thrifting. I love a good deal. However, I refuse to take those types of hand-me-downs because those things are not for me to bear. That's somebody else's unresolved.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think we are a construct of our experiences. And what Jennifer is touching on is not only are we a construct of the experiences that we've had, but the experiences of people around us,
mm-hmm.
because we're always teaching and learning with every experience. You learn how to become a mother, but you learn how to become a mother through a couple of things, your own mother,
mm-hmm.
whoever raised you. The people around you, media, all the shoulds, right, that we have.
Community, ethnicity, race, age.
So there are so many aspects of it that sometimes we forget to ask ourselves
mm-hmm.
What it is to be a mother for me. Now, when you talked about baggage, and there's something that I really love, which is the idea of intentionality for behavior. So, for example, if a mother is really strict, you're saying like how you're gonna close you're gonna close yourself off boundaries with men, all men, and so what ends up happening, it can be that the other generations, like, you're too close all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the complete opposite to happen, and I'm just gonna be absolutely open.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm gonna give you all the freedom. So now when you have a child, you give the child all the freedom that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But now the child is like, oh my God, I wish that there had been some strictness, some more boundaries, some more structure. So they're going to go back. So it kind of like it's a pattern that kind of keeps on relieving itself. So when we're thinking about dating the self, when we're thinking about all this baggage, I want you to identify three things, three aspects. And these are like tidbits that we'll give to you guys. And the idea of all the actions that I have, what is the consequence that I want? And what is the intention? So identify intention, action, and consequence, or the result. Do they match? Are they congruent? If my intention is to be able to have more freedom and to be able to have a little bit of a balance, but my action is to go the complete opposite of my
mm-hmm.
parents, what's the consequence going to be, you know? always think about that. It's a great way to learn a little bit about more about stuff, and also to think of all the alternative actions that I can take
mm-hmm.
For the different outcomes that I want. I hope that makes sense.
Love
in my mind, I absolutely did. Aaliyah.
Yes. It makes a lot of sense. And as you're talking about, and as you all are talking about things handed down to us, you know, that's kind of going hand in hand. As I spoke of, you don't understand the way you do the things you do. You know, grandmama may have, you know, gotten up on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and start cleaning the house from top to bottom, and she did it in a certain, you know, certain way. And you may have
mm-hmm.
taken that on and did it the exact same way and then fed that to your children. So I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Aaliyah, it's as simple as where do you keep the ketchup, right? Like, literally,
yeah.
I'll keep my ketchup in the cabinet. That's because Carol and Grady Pearson kept their ketchup in the cabinet. For Patricia, it was in the fridge. Where did whoever raise you?
Parents.
They kept it in the fridge. So it's as simple as even the little things that we don't pay mind to, and we aren't kind of mm-hmm. thinking about. Though the Bible says keep refrigerated when you open. You know, that's mm-hmm. here nor there, because I was not told. It wasn't something that they sat me down and said, you know what, you're about to graduate, you're moving on to college. These are some things I need you to know. The ketchup must stay in the cabinet. That wasn't on the talks of things of life, right? That was, you know, but it was one of those things that I indirectly learned because of observation, right? And it even goes far back as looking at how do people communicate. A lot of times we replicate the household of which we grew up in, of how people communicated. And either we go full force in and we repeat that pattern of communication, and then we have expectations for the other partner in our own relationship of that's how they are to communicate, and if they don't, it means something. Or we do the extreme opposite of that because we did not like the environment in which we were cultivated and growing up in, that we don't want to repeat those things, so we go on the other extreme of it, and that's what justifies how we are in relationships.
And we don't want to, this is the idea that I think Geneva is talking about, is we go from one extreme to the next because we think, I didn't want the fact that my parents never talked, and so I want to talk, but then I can't keep anything to myself. So you go from one extreme to the next. What we want to invite you to do as you start to date yourself is to explore it more. What is your intention behind going the complete opposite way? The intention is to be different from my dad or from my mom and from their relationship.
Not to have that,
Not to have all that. So is there an alternative? Is going the complete extreme to the other side the way to do it? Because then you end up coming, so think of like a bell curve, right? Instead of being in one extreme or the other, you end up finding yourself to be somewhere more in the middle. That's what we want you to invite you to do, to be able to identify, how can I get to where I want to be? Where do I even want to be? Have you thought to think about that? You know, who am I if I were to describe myself, all the different facets of myself? And who do I want this person to be? And then how can I get from where I am to where I want to be? So you one know, of the tidbits that we go ahead, Aaliyah.
You know, I just thought about something. Can a person describe themselves without titles? Because many people describe themselves as that title, but that's not really who you are. Can you describe yourself without a title?
Absolutely. Because a lot of people, you know, that's the totality of who they are. So what I do is I use an exercise where I have a circle with clients, and in that circle, I ask for them, I have a couple of lines ahead of it, so about six lines above the circle, and I ask for them to take a moment and self-reflect, and I say, think about all the things that make you you, where your energy is used up most of the time. Now, write down those particular titles that you would coin that. So if it's a student, if it's a mother, if it's being a daughter, if it's being a caregiver, if it's being a teacher, if it's being a partner, a wife, a husband, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever those titles are, I ask clients to kind of take a moment to sit with self and think about self for a minute. And what are those areas that where you are being utilizing a lot of your energy? And then I tell them to take that circle that looks like a pie, and I kind of describe it that way, and I ask them to divide that circle up into pieces that represents each of those titles that you've given yourself. And so, and they don't have to be equal. So make it up true to what you kind of feel. Maybe the mother slice is a little bit more than what the actual best friend slice is, or the teacher slice, or what the caregiver slice for mom.
Which is dynamic. It can change.
Absolutely. It's very fluid. It's very, but what I do that, and I do that at the beginning of when we start therapy together, I do it about maybe midway through, and I do it again at the end, because I want, 9 times out of 10, through that process, you'll see an evolution of self. And then we can talk about how did one change in relation to everything and everything else. And what you kind of come to find out is that where you really are putting a lot of your energy into, how come you're putting your energy into those particular areas, and where do you actually want to put your energy into? That doesn't mean, that doesn't negate and say that, you know, you don't want to have this piece and that piece, the larger portion as a caretaker for grandma or mom or whoever that is that you don't want that to still remain. But how do you stay true to the other pieces of you, Aaliyah, that you're talking about? Because being a PhD student for myself, or being a partner to my wonderful man, or being a daughter, those are not the totalities of who I am. Those are pieces that help make me who I am, but they don't define who I am. And so I'm a huge component of the emotional umbilical cord, and it's an invisible cord that I believe exists between every relationship, whether it's an intimate one as a partner, or whether it's just someone that you're in relation with, your boss or your best friend or your parents or whoever raised you or whoever you're connected to, is that when we were born, we have a physical, actual umbilical cord, and that's cut. Someone cut that. But then behind that was an invisible emotional umbilical cord, and with that, we create these relationships with these different people, and a lot of times the strength of that dictates what decisions we make, what decisions we don't make, how we go about making things and doing things. And I think a lot of times if we take the hats off, take the titles away, Aaliyah, like what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and rather than seeing it as this decision that I'm making regarding my mother or my best friend or you know, this person that my coworker that I work with, if I take their title and how they are in relation to me away, would the same decision mm-hmm. that I'm making hold true if I just saw them as Patricia, if I saw them just as Aaliyah, if I saw them just as Grady, to see if that remains the same? Because what that gives you is information about how strong your emotional umbilical cord is and how you're managing it.
And, I mean, when we're talking about titles, and titles can mean different things, because we can talk about title as in a doctor, right, MD, which are our professional titles. And a lot of those, like, work really hard to be able to have that. But that's, again, it's part of us. But one of the things that I noticed, especially because when you're talking about being a parent, that has a lot of responsibilities within it. So that oftentimes takes a lot of us, or parts of us, mm-hmm. Across mm-hmm. different titles and relationships. But sometimes we also end up using that as a way to not really think about ourselves, right? So I end up hiding myself because I end up neglecting mm-hmm. myself and thinking so much and kind of like relying and taking comfort on that title, because that title is allowing me not to think about myself and who mm-hmm. I am. So it's always creating a balance. So having a self-care portion to it. And by self-care is the idea of me being well. And I think Aaliyah said something. She said, if you don't like you, it becomes really difficult for other people to also like you. Like if I walk somewhere like this, I'm not as approachable, right?
Yeah.
But because I'm not feeling good about myself. So so how can we do that? How can we create a self-care?
Yeah.
What does that really mean? So I'll give you one of the things that I've been playing around with, and then I know Jennifer has a bunch of, when you talk about self-care and so many different exercises, but one of them that I want you to think about, I've kind of been thinking of the a need-to-want ratio. So when you're thinking of self-care, think about all the millions of things that we need to do in the day, right? How many need-to-dos do you do in a day, and how many want-to-dos do you get to do? So the ratio would be, for me, I've been trying to do for every 5 needs, I get to do 1 want.
Mm-hmm.
So my needs have kind of remained the same, because I do need to go to Publix, okay?
She ain't got no groceries in her house. She over there starving that man of hers. Y'all pray for her, y'all.
I go and that's about it. But I need to pass my Publix, right? But I needed to do some work today. I needed to be here on time. So I needed to drive all the mm-hmm. way from Kendall here to Hollywood. And I knew that I had at least 5 pressing needs in the day, but I really wanted to go to the gym. So for 2 weeks now straight,
mm-hmm.
First thing that I did was go to the gym. Didn't even have breakfast first. I went to the gym, which does a lot. But I started with my want of the day. My fiance and I really wanted to go rock climbing. And this weekend, we allowed ourselves to be able to. So when we talk about needs and wants, it can be my ratio of, you can have like 3 needs and then 1 want after 3 needs. So the wants can be very small. For me, yesterday, I really wanted to have a fruit bowl. So at one point, after I finished doing my needs, I sat home and I had a fruit bowl. And I had a couple calls that came in, and I picked them up and I said, I'm finishing eating. Can I call you right back to allow myself to have that time? So it can be your own individual needs. If you ever get to do 1 need to 1 want, that'd be awesome. I think that would mm-hmm. like utopia. And it can also be together with other people. So with your families, your kids, your significant mm-hmm. others, we've done all of these things. What is a want? So find a balance. I guess it's all necessarily a balance in life.
I agree. Balance is key. Balance is key. So, ladies, the topic itself, dating myself, what does it mean mm-hmm. to you guys, especially being, in the line of business that you're in?
I think dating myself has, I've been kind of putting this on Patricia for a couple of weeks now. She's probably so sick of me talking about Brené Brown. Y'all, if you have not got connected with Brené Brown, that's B-R-E-N-E, Brown, you sleep right now. You ain't even woke. You don't even know what's happening right now. Brené Brown is an amazing author who talks about this idea of vulnerability and boundary setting and doing it for self. And that's really where my dating myself comes from. Is it's really entrenched in, you know, she has a powerful, if you guys get a chance to go on YouTube and you YouTube, you can put in the search box The Power of Vulnerability. Amazing resource. Amazing, amazing resource. And then she has another one called The Anatomy of Trust. So those are kind of some quick links that you can use, as well as she has at least two books that I've read. One is called Braving the Wilderness, and the other one is called The Gifts of Imperfection. And Braving the Wilderness, I'll just talk about that one in particular because I'm at the point where I'm just about to explode every day when I read a new chapter with it, and it relates back to Leah's question of what does dating myself mean, is that Braving the Wilderness is about the idea that I will not negotiate myself with you. I will negotiate a contract. I'll negotiate where we eat. I'll negotiate what we do for the evening. I'll negotiate those pieces. But I will not negotiate who I am with you, because what happens is that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you'll be happy with the results, but I won't be happy with them. And that right there is too much of a thing to bear for me, because I have to live with it as well. And so dating myself really kind of gets to that piece of sitting with yourself, being more self-aware, being more introspective of understanding who you are and how can you decipher your voice versus the voices of others, meaning your ancestors, your heritage, your ethnicity, your gender, you know, all of those other pieces that make you, your profession, all those things that make you, is being able to decipher, okay, these pieces are important. They're imperative. They're you know, they help to assist shape us, but they don't have to define us. So how can I turn them down just a tidbit, but turn myself up so that I can get very clear in saying that, you know what, I love you. I know that's what you really want for me. I actually understand why you want that for me. And that absolutely makes sense. But for me, this is what fits. And when you date yourself more, you're able to get to a place where you can draw that strong boundary and respectfully give, you know, say your piece and let that be. Now, granted, they're not going to always be receptive of that. They sometimes they're going to accept and be like, oh, yes, that's wonderful. I love it. Let's do more of it. Sometimes they'll sit still and they don't know what to do. They're confused. They don't know whether to go left or right with you, but they don't know what's coming next. And then sometimes they'll completely push back because they're not used to that, and that's not what they know about you. But again, that's not for you to bear. Dating yourself teaches you that that's for them to bear, not you. So what they do with that is on them. But if you stay true to self, if you learn to be vulnerable with self, if you learn to get to know who am I and what makes me, that's also shaped by these other pieces, but truly, where do I fit in? Where's my I voice in this? Then you'll learn how to date yourself in a very healthy way.
Yeah, and it will allow you to also know who your partner will be, right? And what is it that I'm willing to compromise on? Because when we have relationships have a lot of compromises mm-hmm. in it. What are things that I can compromise on that doesn't compromise who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it becomes a give and take. When you're in the relationships that we are, there are always at least three, right, in the relationship, which is, for example, Ginevra and myself. It's me, Ginevra, and then us,
mm-hmm.
right? We have each individual and then the we together, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to honor who I am and get to know who I am more. Now, going back to what we talked about earlier today, sometimes dating yourself can be really difficult because there's so many things going through our minds and we get confused and we feel lonely. And maybe at this time I'm not feeling happy and we are supposed to be happy
mm-hmm.
all the time. But again, there's so many other emotionalities that sometimes just sitting with the fact that I'm not happy right now.
Absolutely.
What is it that is not making me happy? Because when I have a relationship with the different emotions and I honor them instead of trying to escape them,
mm-hmm.
I actually spend less energy. It's exhausting to try to escape my thoughts all the time. So I think dating myself becomes
being comfortable and understanding who I am, allowing my thoughts to come and identifying what are these thoughts, where do they come from, where do they want to go. And one of the things, again, we talked about the tidbits and things that we give you guys. So if my mind is racing all the time and I just can't be by myself because it's always racing, there are different things that we can do. One is write them down,
mm-hmm.
or say them out loud. I like the idea of using different senses. We have like five senses,
five
right?
Senses.
It's difficult for us to smell our thoughts. But we can say them. Although we're not tasting them, we can say them. When you say the things that you're thinking, there are a couple things that happen. One, you get to hear yourself. So not only are you saying it, but you're actually hearing the things that you're saying. When they stay in our minds, they can get lost. Now, again, I think of balance, right? And I like the idea of balance even from a scientific perspective. Now, the second law of thermodynamics says that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So when thoughts come in and they stay here, this is the energy that's getting older and older and older. So you notice that your thoughts start getting darker and darker,
mm-hmm.
right? They become more and more intense. But when we say them out loud, you kind of release them and you allow for new energy to now come in, allowing for that balance to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you write it, it's not only that you're writing it, but you can actually see the things that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can rip it apart if it doesn't ring true. Or you can leave it there for you to continue reading it, see if it actually makes sense to you. So use the different senses to be able. Now, one of the things, so for example, and I'll give an example that has worked with me, cooking. Oh, my God, when you're by yourself and you cook, it's very tactile, right? You're putting all of your energy into that food, or it can be working out, it can
mm-hmm.
be different things, but it allows for your process, your thoughts to come, but at the same time, if I'm mad and I'm, I don't know, making a loaf of bread, I'm really putting it into that bread, and I'm taking it out of me, because as Ginevra said, it doesn't always belong to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things that are given to us, but we don't have to carry them with us. We can put them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot about self-discovery, honoring who I am and what I'm feeling and what are the different things, to be able to welcome and leave space for other people to be with us and
mm-hmm.
for us to have a harmonious relationship with self and with others.
I love it, ladies. This is good stuff because, again, so many people get caught up in that web of, well, you know, especially with tomorrow being Valentine's Day, you'll have people
yeah.
that they're not in a relationship and they're just so depressed. Honey, no.
Hey, go buy yourself a nice massage, pamper yourself. Oh,
yeah.
I love doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You pamper yourself, you look really nice.
Take your phone out the door.
Yes. Yes, and
mm-hmm.
because it's yourself, it will be a little bit cheaper too.
Yeah. Not with a snap on the needle.
Yeah. Knowing what you like and knowing what you want, you can buy it for yourself.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's see here if we have any questions. Guys, if you want to ask any questions, feel free to press 1 if you're dialed in on 929-477-2178. If you are listening via Facebook Live, they can't hear me, right?
I believe you guys can hear Aaliyah. And so what she's saying is that if you guys have a question for us, you're more than welcome to ask it. Again, I know that there's, you know, we are true believers of confidentiality in that piece, self-disclosure. However, it doesn't have to be necessarily because you asked the question, it's coming directly from you. But if you have a question that you would like for us to ask, you know, answer, or that you're curious about or a comment or anything like that, you're more than welcome to do so. And then you can also dial in, Aaliyah placed in the feed below the number that you can call, that 929-477. I got a blessing on y'all. So y'all know I can't see that.
2178.
And press 1. Right. And press
1. Let me repeat that number. That is 929-477-2178.
Y'all know I can't see. I really can't see.
So if you have a question, like, how many of you are listening? Then you can press 1 and we'll bring you on live to ask a question or even a comment. And if you're on Facebook Live, you want to make a comment in the feed. We'll just repeat it so that others that's on the radio show can actually hear you.
Absolutely. So on Facebook Live, you guys, just in case you didn't hear it, you can go ahead and post a question, post a comment, it's fine. And again, it doesn't have to be directly connected. We won't necessarily attach the question, meaning it's your own personal self. But maybe it's a question or a scenario that you're curious about or you want to know more information about, or you just want to make a comment and just say how, you know, how cute I am on Facebook Live. You know, whatever you want to put on there. I'm taking one though, just saying.
You know, now and then people, they'll get quiet on you, and then as soon as the show is over, your feed will be all blown up and lighting up like a Christmas tree. So,
and y'all better act now, because we charge for this. So you better act like you on Facebook Live to play. I'm really playing, y'all. I'm dead serious, but I'm kind of for real. You know, definitely ask or give comments is fine.
One of the things that I put out there, because sometimes we get questions where, going back to a comment we made a long time ago, which was, like, I've never been single, I've always been with someone, and sometimes we really want to have that other someone. So a question that I'll have you ask yourself sometimes is, if you, let's say, you broke up with somebody and you really want to have a boyfriend, and you didn't like that individual that you were with, yet you want this individual back. I want you to think, do you miss that person or do you miss having a significant other, what that person represented? Because if you say, I miss that specific person, that you know is about that individual.
Mm-hmm.
But if I miss what that person represents, it means that anyone could fill those shoes.
And the experiences that you have with them. Sometimes we grieve the loss of the experiences. Maybe you were financially, y'all were doing certain things, going on trips, y'all were, you know, you were doing things that were totally different and new experiences for you. And so we miss that too. So it's really easy for sometimes for us to kind of go back into that. And so exactly what, like Patricia was saying, is that you have to ask yourself, you know, what does that represent?
Yeah.
You know, what is that connection to me? Because a lot of times it's truly that it's the loss of the experience or the connection. You know, and it's a difference between being lonely and being alone. Those are two different dynamics. And so getting to understand the difference between the two and how they fit in your life. Yes, it's not always fun to be alone. Right? But again, like what Aaliyah said, if you can't sit with yourself, how can you expect anybody else to sit with you and tolerate you? So if you don't like yourself, you need to sit with yourself a little bit longer until you start liking yourself.
And what does it even mean to like the self? And what would allow you to even become able to do that? And sometimes it becomes just recognizing that right now I don't like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I am unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And with, again, mm-hmm. I will say, Blanca, right? With awareness comes action. Once you become aware of some things, when you can act upon it, when we try to push it away, we push the awareness away, or we're just not aware of it, we can't necessarily change and change patterns that comes along with that, with whatever it is that we've been holding with us, being it a baggage that comes through our history, through our family.
I'm really good about metaphors, y'all. Y'all hear me talk about metaphors all day long. I talk about baggage claim at the airport, who's going to take your baggage. I talk about road construction in your life. I'm really good at metaphors.
But, you know, one of the things, especially because we're talking about Valentine's, and I've gotten that question before, which is when I break up with somebody who I've been romantic with, I love so much more than just a romantic partner.
Yep.
I lost a best friend, because that's usually the first person that you pick up and say, oh, my God, this happened, and now I can't anymore. And so a lot of the times it becomes, that's what I want back, more so than the romantic aspect of it. And it doesn't always mean that that needs to end, right? So it's understanding the different roles that a person may have played in my life, and what role do I want this other person to really play in my life now with who I am today.
Right. I agree. So many people get so caught up in that place of, well, I need a man or I need a woman, you know, whoever that person is. Well, no, you don't need anyone. I remember one time someone said, well, he makes me whole or he makes me complete. He completes me.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't complete. He's just enhancing what you're already bringing to the table.
Absolutely.
And So many people get lost in.
Not a substitution.
I'm sorry, what was that, Leah?
Yes. So many people get lost in the relationship, especially as mothers. I can say mothers more so than dads. They lose themselves because they become so much of mom and so much of wife. They don't know who they are as an individual any longer. And I've talked to so many women like that.
Yeah. And I think a word that I hear. I'm sorry, what was that, Leah?
I've spoken with a couple of dads that was the thing, too, especially if they were single parents as a dad. You know, they took on that role as mom. And so there was, you know, what they call it? What's that when they gave the terminology on that movie? Like Mrs. Doubtfire, but it was actually the daddy. But anyway, dad is actually playing the role of mom and dad, and therefore he's lost himself because now he's playing a dual role. You know, you get that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, a word that I hear a lot is sacrifice. Right, I have to sacrifice the person who I was to be in the role that I am today. And we do understand that, and that's a very real aspect of our lives. And so whenever you do think about the things that you, there are the have-tos, right, sacrifice, and but there are also the ones that I do because I think other people want me to, without really knowing, do they really want it? So one is open communication to be able to address, like, was that a sacrifice that everybody really wanted, or did I do it thinking others would want, but it didn't really work that way? So again, it goes to the intention, action, and consequence. But I also want you to think about, well, let me look at a balance between this. So these are the things that I've sacrificed. Mm-hmm. These are the things that I gained because of that. Now, is there a compromise that I can do between the things that I would really like to bring back? Because when Aaliyah was talking about, you know, like becoming a mother or becoming a wife or becoming a husband, doesn't have to be a substitution for the single life, for example, right? But it can be an addition, and with additions come changes. Things don't always look the same. It's always a dynamic thing. So think about that idea of balance in our life. So sacrifice gains. Which one is the one that I really want to go with? How do I compromise between them?
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes people compromise too much at the extent of their being unhappy, and then it turns into anger and frustration. I've seen that too much as well.
Absolutely.
Do you all see that?
Oh, absolutely. I was just telling Patricia about a case tonight. She's laughing because I just had a client tonight where I was serious. I was in the same situation. But that's the power of emotions, and that's the power of sometimes we just miss each other. And then, and again, if you're not understanding of what how you learn to communicate. First, ask yourself, how did I learn to communicate? All behavior is communication. So all the way from the eye rolls to the shrugging the shoulders, all the way down to I don't care, I don't know. All of that behavior is communication. And so, if you have to be aware of self, what is your body language giving off when you're sitting in front of somebody else that you don't agree with, or you feel as though that they should think or feel a certain way that may or may not be congruent with you? So I truly think is that, again, sitting with yourself more and getting an understanding of that, yes, you set boundaries, right? Because no one wants to be taken advantage of, and no one wants to be put to the wayside and be an afterthought. Same time, you have to be aware of what is lending me to think and feel and operate the way that I do, and understanding, is it really you or the expectation of others? Kind of what Patricia was saying, is it this idea of what we've set in our mind of what a great father is supposed to be, or what a great girlfriend is supposed to be, and then we kind of walk through that, through the everyday task of checking off those things, and then we sit around and look at the other partner, and they're looking at us like a chicken with a head cut off, like looking confused because it doesn't fit. So what I like to tell when you get into the relationships or partners and stuff, you need to learn your love language. That's part of sitting with yourself.
Absolutely.
And so learning your love language, and Dr. Gary Chapman is an amazing author who talks about the five love languages. If you don't got it, get it. Download it on Amazon. It's on the Kindle. But it's one of those things that
it teaches you that there, you know, that we are all connected and typically operate out of five domains, and but one or two of them are the ones in which we feel the strongest to, we connect the strongest to, and when we experience them, that's when it's like, ah, I get it. That's love to me. That's compassion to me. That's authenticity with me. That's vulnerability. I love that. And so when we can sit with self and learn what that is, then we can teach others how to show us love, and that's what fits for us.
Absolutely.
And then vice versa, because if Patricia's love language is physical touch, where she likes lots of hugs, she likes me to play in her hair, and that's just her way of communicating, and we walk arm in arm together, and her second most prominent love language is quality time, so she needs some girl time from me. She needs to be, I need to talk to her on the phone, I need to text her, I need to, those things are important to her. That may be her love language, but for me, my love language may be the acts of service, right, where I like when someone fills my gas tank up with some gas, even though it's like $4 a gallon right now, or I like gifts, where I like small little gestures of things or extravagant gifts. So, again, she can't give me physical touch and give me quality time. She can give me that. I'll say, aw, that's your shrinking. But it won't feel the way, it won't resonate with me with true love the way that my acts of service and my gifts will. So she has to learn, not only to learn herself, we have to learn our partners, and then we must give them and operate out of their love language rather than our own. So that, but that requires sitting with self.
Absolutely. I could not agree more, because the whole time that we're talking about dating self is self-exploration and knowing yourself. And when you know yourself, you can allow others to get to know you, and then you can also get to know others. So I'll give an example. My friends are going to want to kill me, but I'm still going to give an example. So, but one of the things that we have is like a communication between ourselves. So this came with a lot of learning who he is and who I am. So for example, if I'm pissed off and I'm fighting and I run out of the room and he does not come running after me, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with him? Ooh, sorry, language. But it's, so I had to teach him, when I run out of the room, I want you to follow. Whereas with him, if he gets mad and he runs out of the room, he wants his space. Now, he wouldn't come after me before, because to him it was, if she walked out, it's because she wants her space. Whereas to me, it was, he didn't come after me. He doesn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to really be able to teach each other that. And once you get to learn yourself, you end up thinking about, will others really like the things that I like? So another example that I give is, I love a surprise party. You can throw me a surprise party anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, he's not a big fan of surprise parties. And I remember once, his birthday, I had a surprise with everyone. And then right before I realized, and it dawned on me, I'm like, this is what I would want. This is my love language,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily his. And so I told him that we were having a surprise party, and thank goodness that I did, because he said, I'm glad that I know, because if I were to walk there and then see everybody, I would have to put a mask on,
mm-hmm.
right? And have that smile on, but that's not what my mind was set up to have. So it is being able to learn not only who you are, but that allows you to learn who the other person is,
mm-hmm.
and giving them instruction. We usually want people to read our minds. Now, I don't know about you. I am not a mind reader. I try. I would love to be able to control what other people think and what other people do, and I think that would make my life so much easier, but that is not the case. I can only control my actions.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always an action reaction, and when I say things, Ginevra will respond to what
mm-hmm.
I say, and I'll respond to what she says. It's a reciprocal relationship. So if I am aware of my actions and the ways that I think, then it will become easier for her to understand what I'm thinking, because I'll communicate that to her. If I say, Ginevra, my love language is I would really love a hug, then she will know that. Now imagine if you go to hug somebody who really despises being hugged or being cuddled, their reaction won't be what you expect it to be. Your intention was, oh my God, I really want to console this person. Your action was hugging, but the consequence was, oh my God, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a dissonance there. So again, dating yourself is allowing yourself to become aware of what are your needs and how they may differ from those of others. So you instruct others, which allows them to also instruct you on what they need,
mm-hmm.
and creates a relationship, and you create your own language within your house.
Amen. You ladies are giving us some good stuff, because I'm telling you, so many people, I mean, relationships are just jacked up because you're saying, follow me. When you walk out, he's saying, I thought you needed space, but nobody's saying it. Then that's where the communication breakdown is. So I'm loving this,
y'all.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And there again, if you know what you like, now you can communicate that. Or you know how you
are,
now you can communicate that. Because communication is key. If you don't have communication, you really don't have anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when we have to fill in the blanks, and I've said that before, we usually do it in a negative way. So the example I gave, if I walked out and he didn't follow me, my mind is, oh, my God, he doesn't care about me. Imagine somebody needed to call you at a certain
mm-hmm.
time and they don't. One of the first things that comes to mind is, oh, my God, what was this person doing? What, they don't care about me. They don't care about my time. That's so disrespectful. Sometimes it may come that, oh, maybe their battery died. From the way that you're thinking, if you're thinking the person's battery died, they think the way that you feel about it is a little bit more, okay, there's an excuse. I feel, all right. But if my immediate thinking when I fill in the blank is this person doesn't care about me,
mm-hmm.
then I start getting more and more angry. So then when they finally call and they pick up, we end up fighting with them, right? So that is a journey between the way that I think about an event, my emotion, and the behavior that comes from it. But it's because we tend to fill in the blank in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to simply ask people, why did you do what you did?
Or how come?
How come you've done this?
Mm-hmm.
How come you chose to do it this way? Then we wouldn't have to create assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it when you assume you make an asset of you and sort of me and you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it, ladies. I love it. Well, tell the listeners how they can connect with Advocate to Create.
Okay.
I guess I'll go for it.
I'm the marketing gal for us.
Oh, my gosh, she's amazing.
So you're able to, you can go to our website. It's www.advocate2create.com. Again, I think it's backwards, so they won't be able to see that. www.advocate2create.com, and on that website you'll be able to learn more information about the services that we provide, which is the therapy, which is the trainings for professionals that we offer, as well as clinical evaluations for immigration purposes. And so on the website is where you'll be able to find us. We're also on Facebook. You can just search Advocate to Create again.
LinkedIn, Instagram.
It's all there, Advocate to Create.
Yeah.
You can connect with us there. Our emails are there. It's our first names at advocatetocreate.com. And again, maybe you're not in the Hollywood area, because again, we're in Hollywood. That's where we're sitting at right now, in Hollywood, Florida. So yes, y'all, it feels amazing out here. It's like 78 degrees, so it's amazing. And we're in Doral as well, Florida. And so maybe we aren't able to provide direct services for you. However, we're totally connected to our communities around here and surrounding places, so we can definitely be able to connect you with additional services that may be able to assist.
Or different resources. And one of the things that I really do want to put out there, especially when you're thinking about therapeutic services, so let's say that you come and you're like, oh, I saw Patricia or saw Ginevra, and I really want to go and I want to talk to them. And then you come in, and then maybe the first or second session, and you know, I didn't really jive well with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't get discouraged. If we're not the therapist for you, there's somebody else there who is, because the therapy is the place where you go and you allow yourself to become comfortable,
mm-hmm.
right? I like to say you put your mask at the door
mm-hmm.
when you come in, and then you make sure you put it back on when you go out.
Yeah.
And learn how to live comfortably, right, with the mask off as much as you can. But if it's not with everyone that you're able to feel that comfort, if it's not with us, it will be with somebody else. There's always somebody there for you.
Yeah. And I will leave you with this little last bit before Aaliyah kind of comes in and wraps up the show. My melon-popping skin folks, is out here representing and kind of dismissing the stigma of mental health. And I'm noticing a huge shift out here, at least in the South Florida area, where, you know, we're seeing more and more people of color, or more minorities are starting to kind of jump into that leap of mental health and not allowing the stigma of, you know, so many other things to kind of take over. And so, like I said, you know, being able to find someone to be able to communicate with and talk with in a very non-judgmental way, in a very safe and comfortable way, you know, to do anything different out of our normal pattern can be very uncomfortable, right? But in order to get to comfortability, we have to be willing to be a little bit vulnerable and comfortable. And so definitely what Patricia says, if it's not with us, please reach out to any of your local resources and so that you're able to be able to have that additional support to kind of help you on your journey.
Absolutely. With that, we wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. Well, thank you so very much, ladies. So you heard the ladies, advocate2create.com, that's the number 2. And they are in Florida. They're in North, is it near Miami, Hollywood, and what other part?
Miami-Dade and Broward.
Yeah. Those are, for people that are not from here, you know, we always say Miami, but you know. You know, it's closer to, it's about, you know, 30 minutes north of Miami and about 30 minutes south of Miami. So that's where we're located in context-wise. So check out the website and you'll know exactly where we are.
Okay. So that's advocate2create.com. You have Patricia Timmer, hey, and Jenevra Pearson. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing with us tonight, sharing your words of wisdom and expertise. You helped a lot of people tonight.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Aaliyah, for having us on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye. Bye. So, guys, we were on with Advocate to Create, Patricia and Jenevra, and I tell you, they were such a blessing this evening to us. If you missed any of the show, you definitely want to come back in and listen to the recording. It'll be available within the next 5 minutes or so. We want to thank all of our sponsors again. Purpose is the title cut of John Mark Howard's CD. You can find all of his CDs on all digital outlets, music outlets, as well as johnsmusic.net, just J-O-H-N-Z, music.net. Finding Peace Within, Prayer Journal, The Journey of a Smile by Lisa L. Dalton. Afrographics, that is afrographics@gmail.com. This is contact information. That's APHOGRAF is in Frank X at gmail.com. And he does your banners, letterhead, photography. If you've seen my pictures on Facebook, I did a photo shoot on Thursday. Those are just a few of the pictures, dynamic photography. He's updated my website. Go out and check it on fire2inspire.com. I'm telling you guys, Afrographics would definitely take care of you and make you look like $1 million, which you already do. 50 Miles Per Hour stage play, April 28th at the Clark Center Theater. I will be a part of that play. That is at 4 p.m. on April 28th at the Clark Center Theater. You can find your tickets on Eventbrite. Also, It's All About Me stage play, April 21st through 22nd. Both shows are at 4 p.m. I am a part of that stage play as well. You can find out more information on Eventbrite. That is located at the Port of Sanford Performing Arts Building Center in Decatur. Again, that's April 21st through 22nd at 4 p.m. So these are back-to-back weekends. 21st and 22nd, It's All About Me, 4 p.m. Then the following weekend, the Clark Center Theater, 50 Miles Per Hour, and that's 4 p.m. as well, April 28th. So, guys, come on out and support. Come on out and see me. I'm excited about being able to share my gift. I love to – that's one thing about learning to love you and understand who you are. I thank God for it because there are so many gifts that many of us have, but you haven't explored many of them, and so you're sitting on them. And the Lord said it's time to walk in the things that he's called you to. It's not for you. It's for you to bless the others. So thank God for that. Again, thank you, Niecy of Sister Girls Hair Studio, that was able to curl my hair real quickly before we started the photo shoot on Thursday in Columbus at Afrographics. Thank you so, so very much. And, guys, we just finished up the mind detox, the 21-day mind detox on Fire to Inspire. and I was posting for the past 21 days. Well, guess what? It's going to be an ebook. So look for more information about that. We will have a scheduled date for March, so I will let you know more and more about that. But look for it. It's going to be available on Amazon for only 99 cents. Yes, you heard me right. Amazon.com for 99 cents. It's going to be called The 21-Day Mind Detox. Very simple. That's what we went through. That's what it's going to be. Guys, I love you. It's time for you to live and no longer exist. It's time for you to walk out the things that God is calling you to. It's time for you to be happy, free and healthy in your mind, in your body, in your soul. Everything about you is time to live, and the time is now. I'm Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. I love you guys. Same time next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You all have a blessed, blessed week. Thank you.